Hello, good evening, good afternoon, and depending upon where you are in the world, hello again. This is Paul Richard Price of the Prophecy Chronicles on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. And to all of you listening on the internet, hello. And to those of you listening at WPRN 105.5 FM in New Orleans, God bless you and Merry Christmas. Now, my guest on the show tonight is a member of the John Birch Society. He's a great speaker. His name is Lionel Tarzi. And Lionel, how are you doing tonight, by the way?
I'm doing fine. I just got off of a road trip and settling in and preparing for a office week and Christmas time.
Well, wonderful, and that's great. And one of the reasons why we have you on the show tonight is so this way you can tell us, in effect, why it is the Constitution should be so important to us. And give us a little history and background on what the John Birch Society is, how it came to be, and what you're planning to do right now. So if you would, could you give us a brief history about the John Birch Society and about how you came involved?
Okay, sure can. Well, first of all, if anyone has ever eaten a sugar daddy or a sugar baby, the gentleman who developed that candy and found the formula to keep the silly thing on the stick with the sugar daddy after you got it out of the wrapper was the same person, Mr. Robert Welch, who started the John Birch Society. We've been in existence for 51 years now. It just happens to be that I live in Indianapolis, Indiana, and that's where the original meeting was to form the society as a group of people who would plan an action to expose and rout the communist influence in the United States, especially, and eventually around the world. As it turned out later on, we found out that the communists were not part of the whole problem. They were just part of the apparatus. So we've been in existence for quite some time. We've had some great adventures and did some good things. Our basic bottom line is, if it's not in the Constitution, what are you doing it for? And that's specifically addressed to the Congress of the United States, both houses and the presidency. And we want people to understand that the first principles, which is the Constitution, is what everything, our whole country is based on. And without that honoring and understanding and knowledge of the Constitution, the people cannot be jealous of it, and therefore they don't know what's happening to them. So we're trying to explain what's happening and how to combat that. I got into the John Birch Society in 1972. I was introduced to the book called The Blue Book. This is a story of the founding of the John Birch Society in 1958 and why Mr. Welch wanted to do what he wanted to do. And I read the book, and it hit me as this is really the truth, and I've been a member ever since. Then in 2000, I came on staff, and I've been on staff ever since then.
Well, who was John Birch to begin with? A lot of us have heard of the society, but we're wondering, who is John Birch?
Very good. John Birch was a missionary in China. Prior to America's entry into World War II, however, the Japanese had already invaded China in the 1930s, and John was over there about 1939-1940, prior to the our getting into it after the Pearl Harbor attack. John Birch, being a missionary, he had a lot of courage, and he was a very humble man at the same time. He used to sneak behind enemy lines and have revivals and bring the brethren out there behind the Japanese lines and into the communist Chinese-held territory. He was baptizing people, I guess, and bringing the word of Christ. And the war was getting in his way. And he got tired of all this because the war was in his way and he was really getting frustrated. As providential hand of God over things has it, John was a slightly built fellow. And he had kind of, I guess what they call sleepy eyelids or something to that effect. They kind of droop a little bit. So he would disguise himself as a Chinese and sneak behind the lines to bring the Bibles out and go do his preaching and stuff. One day, he's in a little cafe behind enemy lines, and this Chinese gentleman comes up to him and said, "You're an American, aren't you?" And, you know, right away, John Birch got really scared. It turned out the Chinese fellow needed him to come and see something, so he said, "Well, I'll meet you outside." And when he went outside after his dinner, he met this Chinese gentleman, and he took him down to a sandpan, which is a river, like a little riverboat. And the Chinese fellow said, "Hey, there's Americans in there." And John Birch said, "Oh, you got to be kidding me." And he said, "You know, there's Americans in there." And of course, by the way, John Birch was very good at speaking and understanding the Chinese language, so I'm doing a paraphrase. Well, sure enough, he kept calling, and he finally said, "Are there any Americans in there? And nobody answered. And after about the third or fourth time, somebody said with a Texas drawl that nobody can speak like that unless he was really an American, sir. And so they opened up the curtain, and here's Jimmy Doolittle from the famous Doolittle Raiders. He had to bail out because his plane ran out of fuel in the raids off the USS Hornet aircraft carrier. It was a one-way mission into bringing the war to Japan, and with our men were supposed to land in the friendly Chinese territory, but some of the guys didn't make it, and Doolittle was one of them. So anyway, John Birch was shocked to see Americans there. They, of course, were shocked to see him. And he brought them through enemy lines and got them back to the 14th Air Force, the famous Flying Tigers with Claire Chennault. And when John found out about what happened, that the American bombing group had come over there and the Doolittle Raiders had attacked Tokyo and a few other cities to let the Japanese know we were coming, he sent word out to his friends behind Japanese lines, and they recovered all the air crews except two that I remember. Both of those, one of them, several of the fellows got killed, but some of them got taken by the, they landed in Russian territory, and they got captured by the our so-called allies, the Russians, and were kept there for quite a while before they were released. But anyway, this really got John to thinking. He said, I've got to get this war over with. I need to help get the war over with, because I need to build my churches and preach the word of the Lord. So he joined the 14th Air Force, and he became an intelligence officer. And what he did as an intelligence officer was teach American and Chinese teams of four, two and four men, to go up in the mountains or go out over the height and call in airstrikes on the Japanese. And in 1 month, in 1943 or 44, I think, his team of people called in so much airstrikes that the 14th Air Force sank more Japanese tonnage than the whole United States Navy did for that 1 month. Some of the things that was learned from what he did on calling in airstrikes were used in Vietnam, by the way. After the wars, after the surrender of Japan, John is now a captain in the United States Army Air Corps, and he's in charge of a detachment to go into communist-held territory to take control of Japanese POWs, to repatriate them to do the prisoner exchange. Well, the communists didn't like Birch and what he stood for, and this one group ambushed him, and he went to see what was going on, and they killed him. The problem with killing him was the Chinese officer that was with him did not die. And I mean, they really did some nasty things. They smashed his face. They tried to mutilate the body so they couldn't recognize it. They couldn't let anybody know they killed an American. But the Chinese officer that was with him did live. He lost a leg, I think, and was in pretty bad shape. But that's how the truth was found out. Well, now we're going to go back to Robert Welsh. Robert Welsh is a very intelligent person. He was the only person ever to enter the University of North Carolina at age 12 and graduate at age 16. And he's quite an astute young man. But by this time, he's an adult. He has his candy business with his brother. And he runs across a file. He's in Washington doing some research on a guy named John Birch. It was classified, and he was got his curiosity up. So anyway, Mr. Welsh went and investigated this John Birch character, and I don't know what the connection was, how he tripped over him. And this is the story that I just told you when he found out about Birch. Now, here's the key thing. John Birch was killed 15 days after, or 10 days after, the Japanese had signed their formal surrender and the war was over in Japan. There was no more war. His parents get a telegram to tell them that they're sorry, but their son was killed by a stray bullet. and the parents didn't believe the story, but they didn't have any way to work on it. But when Mr. Welsh found out what was going on, that it was classified, and that our own government didn't want the American people to know that the Chinese communists had killed an American officer, that got Mr. Welsh pretty upset. As it turned out later on, it was people that he discovered, Mr. Welsh discovered, had been in the State Department and a few other departments in our government who were helping the Chinese communists take over China and kick out Chiang Kai-shek. But what Mr. Welsh discovered and why we are called the John Birch Society is Mr. Welsh wrote a book called The Life of John Birch, which I just gave it to you in kind of a nutshell, and decided that this young man was the epitome of American male manhood. Honorable, courageous, honest, love of country, love of God, love of family. And when he decided to form a group to fight and expose communism, he went to the parents and said, I want to name it after your son. So that's why we're called the John Birch Society, even though John himself died 13 years before the society was even created.
Well, let me bring this up, too. It seems like back in the, you know, early history of, you know, back 40-some-odd years ago, you know, even after World War II, we're showing, even before then, actually, even back in the 20s, how a communist influence that has infiltrated our government to a point right now where we're about to lose our particular freedoms if we do not... if we're not very careful, and if we are not educated to a point to where we can actually take that information and use it to our benefit. And one thing I've noticed is that conspiracies, and I want to talk about this too, conspiracies run amok, especially in the last 60 years or so, if I'm correct. And that has a direct link as to what's happening right now and why John Birch, the John Birch Society, is trying to take a stand and a relative stand to protect our individual freedoms. Now, can you go into more explanation as to, in your opinion, what is really going on? What are the great conspiracies and why are they happening, Lionel?
Wow. Okay, this is going to take a while. This conspiracy that we know of today, we can trace back to May 1st, 1776. It was called the Illuminati. There was a fellow named Robeson who wrote a book in 1787 or 89 called Proofs of a Conspiracy that George Washington referred to. This book, by the way, can be purchased from the John Birch Society through our shop, jbs.org website. And that's the development. The conspiracy that we're talking about is not a theory, but it's a fact. And it is like circles within circles. And it progresses as the technology and the centuries go along, where the people who are in this thing, for whatever reason, avarice, greed, stupidity, lust, whatever, they want to have everything for themselves, have the best of things for themselves, and have everybody below them with no middle class. And this conspiracy has now just continued on through the years, centuries, to where we can pinpoint up to a certain degree their control center, so to speak, or I should say their action center, where a lot of their direction comes from, but we don't know how high up it goes and who is really up there. The thing is this, throughout the history of the world, all civilizations have been undermined, or anyone should say that have collapsed politically most of the time to about, I'd say, 90% or more, as because there was a group of people inside that country or that civilization who were planning to destroy it for their own purposes so they could be on top of what was left. And it's not an accident, and it's not an evolutionary thing. This is not something that happens naturally, but it's the avarice of men who caused this thing. So So the conspiracy we're facing today is pretty much centered around a thing called the Council on Foreign Relations, and they're at the Herald. Their headquarters is in New York City at the Harold Pratt House. They put out a publication called Foreign Affairs, and nine times out of ten, if you read something in Foreign Affairs within the next few years, there's a law or a bill or somebody's pushing it, some group and agency's pushing it. The conspiracy has used communism as a tool, and the conspiracy is a communist conspiracy, although communism is not the leader of it. It's a tool of the conspiracy, because communism came later. You know, it's kind of odd. The communists celebrate May 1st as their birth date. Now, the Illuminati was formed, again, May 1st, 1776, of all years. How ironic is that? Thing is, they disappeared. The Bavarian police, because it started in Germany, the Bavarian police broke up this group, and they disappeared, at least from recorded history, for several years, a couple of decades. But it just doesn't seem to me very that much by chance that that's the same date that the communists celebrate as their birthday, as May 1st. So there has to be a tie in there. And there's all been various groups over the years. There's been the Carbonari in Italy. There's been the Fabian Socialists. Cecil Rhodes was part of it. A lot of your Rhodes scholars you have to be careful of and watch what they say. And if you study and learn what we can teach you, you can kind of figure out who's been spoiled and who's been tainted or not. So what we have now today is a plot to, and you've seen it right now in Copenhagen, one of the things that these people need to do is have some kind of disaster or catastrophe or something. Let's knock down a couple of buildings in New York City by a bunch of crazy people in an airplane and cause us to lose our freedoms, the Patriot Act, the Homeland Security, and show me your driver's license before I'm going to let you on an airplane. This is a violation of, what, our First, Fourth, Fifth, Ninth, and Tenth Amendments, at least, I think. Every time you're guilty until proven innocent. When you go through an airport or an airplane or go to see the Colts play or whoever your football team is, think, over here we have the Colts. Maybe the college over there where you guys are. So this is part of what they're doing. The conspiracy is slowly trying to choke us off. You know, like the frog in water, you put them in cool water and you slowly turn up the temperature. The people behind this thing, the names, are, we can go on for a day, so we can do a whole semester on it. But the best thing is we have the materials that are available if someone would like it, either in video form or in written form, and they can purchase the material themselves and or look on our website, www.jbs.org, go to Birch TV or JBS TV, or Birch Tube, and look on the videos there. There's a lot of stuff all over the place with some of this material on it. But the conspiracy itself is insidious because they're everywhere. One of the things they've done, there was a guy named Antonio Gramsci. And Antonio Gramsci, unfortunately, is a fellow Italian who I didn't know. Of course, he was dead a lot longer before I was alive. But he's cooling his heels in a jail in Sardinia because the Italian police had arrested him because the guy's a communist. And he's sitting there and strategizing to himself, and he came up with a plan that, in Russia, we forced the people, basically from the top down, we forced communism on the people. And he said, a better strategy would be, let's sneak up on them. Let's penetrate the arts and sciences, religion, all any media that's available, all walks of life, unions, guilds, everything. And that's what we're seeing today. Communism is like a cancer. You get a little cancer sitting in there, in the body politics, so to speak, or the local area, whatever, the college or the business or halls of justice, and waits for some incident to occur, and that just, while it's planting its seed, an incident is waiting, occurs, and then they can really spread the cancer, and people will fall for what they've been pushed towards. And, they've taken over. Now, again, the communism is the tool of the people who would be our kings. it's not the communists themselves. Again, they're just tools. I'm not saying they're innocent, but what I'm saying is they're not the head of the monster. But the thing is, our arts and sciences have been penetrated. Theater, all kinds of theater arts, music, schools, terrible. There's all kinds of things that have been going on in schools for 50 years in our country at least. There are some out-and-out super socialists in the Congress of the United States. There are members we've caught in the Army McCarthy hearings back in the 50s. People were in the military. We've had people who are not communists or members of the Communist Party or anything like that. However, we've had people who really helped them live. In fact, Russia, as far as Russian communism, would not have succeeded if it wasn't for money coming from New York and coming out of Germany to keep that thing alive. How many times over our own lifetimes, well, I'm a lot older than you are, in our lifetime we've sent them food, we sent them money, technology and stuff, when they couldn't keep up with us. And then our country said, we need a trade agreement so we have detente, so they don't send missiles over here to blow us up and stuff. And it's all at a stage. The war, these guys are all together. So that's my confusing analysis on this here. I can get a little more detail if you have some questions or more. I can give you a little, hopefully more detail without running to my library to find a name or something.
Okay, not a problem. I just want some basic things from you, if you don't mind. The biggest question I have is, I mean, there's really a fine line between communism and democracy, and we are supposed to be in a federal republic, not even in a democracy. And the biggest problem is, right now it's been so convoluted that you can't decide what is communism and what is a democratic forum. They're all one and the same. So what do we do to combat that?
Well, there's several things to do it. First of all, you have to educate people to the differences and then give them a plan of action to execute, to fight what we don't want. We have a video called Overview of America. It's a 29-minute DVD that can be purchased locally. I don't know where your radio show goes to, but we have field staff in the John Birch Society that in all 50 states. You can purchase something locally, or you can order it from our again www.shopjbs.org. But this video is 29 minutes and explains the differences between the right and the left, right wingers and left wingers. It explains what a democracy, an oligarchy is, a monarchy, communism, fascism, socialism, and what is a constitutional republic, which is the United States of America, and where it stands on the political scale. And people who are constitutionalists, where do you stand on the political scale? And we explain to people where people who at least try to understand and try to respect our Constitution and are champions of it in one form or another, where they stand on the political spectrum. We also explain to them capitalism, whether it's free market capitalism or if it's totalitarian capitalism. We define terms. So that's one thing we do. That's a basic education. There's another thing called a book by Frederick Bastiat. Bastiat's book is called The Law. It's a small book. He wrote it right after, I think, the French Revolution. He was a French parliamentarian there in the government during the Revolution. He didn't like what he saw. But The Law is a very good book to read. The Federalist Papers, so we can understand what our founding fathers thought about what was in the Constitution and why. There's a book by James Perloff called Shadows of Power. It talks about the conspiracy that we face today, who's in it. It's got a listing of everybody, I think, from at least a year or two ago who was a member of the CFR, the Bilderbergers may be in there, and also the Trilateral Commission membership is in there. But he talks about these people who work behind the scenes. what's really weird or funny is that Rockefeller here a few years ago wrote his biography or autobiography, and he basically stated, he says, you know, we've been accused, my family and I have been accused of being part of an international cabal to create a one-world government. And he says, you know, he says, if that's that charge, he says, I'm guilty and I'm proud of it, you know. Like, basically, what are you going to do about it, you know? So they're getting a little bit arrogant out there. They're going with us right now with the Copenhagen and the, you know, don't breathe, inhale, exhale, or anything because you might pollute something. The cap and trade, which people don't understand about cap and trade, how it'll affect them. The law of the sea treaty, how it'll affect them. All these things are through different mechanisms that they're trying to, they, the people who would be our kings, are trying to impose upon us in order to shut us down and take our liberties from us and control everything. So one thing always to remember is that the American Republic is a republic and that the federal government was created by the states, not the other way around, and therefore it is subservient to the states. And that's something that's for at least 60 years, oh my goodness, more than that, about 80 or 90 years has been slowly taken away from the people's minds. They've been retrained in school and in thought processes that the federal government takes precedent over the states. And so that's part of the things we're trying to do. We try and support people like Ron Paul and his 1207, I believe his article is, on one of his bills on the Federal Reserve. We have initiated actions through the states with petitions from the state delegation or legislature, the federal delegation of each state, to honor and enforce the 10th Amendment and say, you know, hey, it's not in the federal law that you're allowed to do this, and it's only up to the states or the people, and leave us alone. We're working on many issues. The thing is these people are hitting us from all kinds of different directions. We have NAFTA. We have the North American Union and the superhighway system. The idea that we all have to be one big happy hemisphere with Central, South America, and North America as one big country, just like the Europeans. And we all know what kind of trouble they're having over Europe with the European Union thing. The traditional enemy of kings is the middle class, and that's what America has really been built on, the middle class. Those are the people who take the risk to save the money, build the small businesses. They hire the most total amount of hires and employees and things like that. They do all the hard work. And once you in the middle class, then their employees become middle class, the blue-collar guys and gals. You know, they all become the middle class, too, but these are traditional enemies of kings, because you can only have the kings and it's serfs. You can't have anything in the middle. And so we need to go. And that's what their plan is to figure a way on how we need to go. And they're trying like crazy. And in the John Birch Society, we keep throwing up as many roadblocks as we can with different campaigns and activities and education of the people. We have to explain to people why this needs to be done, not just go do it. And that's the biggest job that we have.
You know, Lionel, we talked about the, you know, the past and the great conspiracy and all that has led to this. But let me ask you one thing. What is the most pressing concern for us today that you would like to talk about and to reveal to my audience?
Oh, well, we have three important things right now. The most important thing is to remember is we have to save the sovereignty of the United States and the Constitution. That's the most highest priority. There's health care is one thing, cap and trade is another, and the environmental clown show that's going on in Copenhagen right now and the results that could come out of that. The biggest thing that concerns us is the sovereignty of the United States, and there's several ways that these people are attacking us. So, Paul, I can't give you this is the one thing. The one thing, again, is American sovereignty. We cannot be put into any kind of agreements where non-elected people from foreign countries are going to tell us what we can and cannot do, and that's what some of these PACs are going to do with cap and trade, with the Copenhagen thing, if it anything, that Copenhagen-Kyoto thing passes, that's the most important thing. People need to educate themselves on this, and they can do that. You all can write down this website. It's all one word, thenewamerican, and then .com. You can go on that website. That's taken from our flagship magazine, The New American, and it's an up-to-date news type of webpage where you can get a lot of education on what's going on. If you go to our main website, the www.jbs.org, click on the action button, and there's several things you can find, downloads and everything. It'll help you educate yourself and steer you in the direction that if you want to help out and help get the country back and then stop these people. And hopefully eventually what we want to do is prove that we don't want to just stop them. We want to eventually make it to where they get prosecuted because they are doing criminal acts against the Constitution and the American people, and they need to be prosecuted under the law with grand juries and appellate courts, everything involved in this thing. So we all need to be educated on this. Again, our sovereignty is the most important thing. We can have any kind of battle. We can win anything. A land use issue. A gun issue. A busing or a schooling issue. But if we don't save our sovereignty, none of those matter. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound where you should be having a big triage done. It's just not enough. So that's why it's always important to always remember America's sovereignty and go back to our basic premise of if it's not in the Constitution, why are you doing this, Mr. Politician? And you need to stop it. I hope that...
Well, let me ask you this. You know, and I know, pardon me, that a lot of my listeners may be wanting to know this. Why is the Constitution still relevant now, 235 plus years after it was signed into being? Why should we worry about it? I am playing the devil's advocate here, but
yeah.
You know, but you know, it's for education right now. We want to know why. Should it be that important? Haven't certain politicians said that it doesn't or it isn't that important anymore of a document? And tell us why it is.
The whole basis of our government is based on that Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, by the way. And that's why that's the whole basis for American law. Everything's right there. That starts the whole thing. It's like cutting your heart out and expecting you to get up tomorrow morning and go to work. Or Saturday, so maybe you're going to go ice fishing or skiing. Or something like that. It's the heart of the matter. And without the Constitution, we've lost everything. It's just like having your heart cut out. You're going to lose your life. You will have no way to live, metaphorically speaking.
Well, and I agree with that, and the reason why I play the devil's advocate right now is so that way you can clarify it with my listeners, and I think you've done a great job of it.
Oh, thank you.
But what is the big solution here? I mean, it's coming where we have only a few more minutes left, so I want you to take the rest of the time explaining what my listeners, individually can do to help resurrect the Constitution and bring it back full force as a legal and abiding document.
Well, one thing is the education of the people is important. In the first 150 years of America, the people were pretty jealous of that Constitution, and it kept people pretty much in line. People, I should say, the politicians pretty much in line. We have to have an understanding of what's really in that thing, and we can do that because it doesn't take much to read it. It's a real short little document, and we sell that too if you need it, or there's all other kind of good organizations who make those available in a pocket version, which is a real good thing to have. But there's other things you can do, and it's all according to how much education you want. There's a group called the MCCS. and they teach the Constitution through a book called The 5,000 Year Leap, which is also available through the John Birch Society, shopjbs.org. The materials that we have, Quest of the Hemisphere is a book to read. It's a good one. It's a history book, but it's a real quick read. It's high school size, but it's a quick read. The Understanding of the Principles of the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers that discuss the different issues that are proposed in the Constitution. And also later on what's in the Bill of Rights, especially the first 10 amendments. What else we can do is you can't just say, well, I'm going to educate myself and then I'm going to go do something. This is a matter of time sensitive, so you have to learn while you are doing. And doing things doing things has to be targeted. Driving around with a bumper sticker or standing on a street corner on a Saturday afternoon is not going to really do much to change people's minds. What we need to do is do exactly what the bad guys have done to us, and that is to get to the hearts and minds of the people to make the electorate aware of the Constitution and whether their senator or their representative is adhering to that Constitution, even at the state level, but primarily at the federal level, because that's where we need to stop this thing from, this monster from keeping up. We can shut it down there. We can put the brakes on everything. So education is the first part. The reason the John Birch Society has so much material for available is because when we started to originally publish and put things out, there was a blackballing of our materials. We couldn't get it out through the regular outlets, so we started our own private distribution system and even our own private printing company. So we have a subsidiary that does our own printing. Once the material is out, you have to organize with an organized plan of what are we going to do. We're not going to, it's not going to do any good to send some conservative person to Washington if the people back home do not understand the first principles of the Constitution, constitutional principles. It doesn't do any good to send these guys up there if they don't have a staff of constitutionalists working for them. He's going to be isolated by himself. We need to have a majority of the American people understanding the Constitution so they'll be able to explain it to people. Why can't you do that? Well, the 10th Amendment says if it's not in there, and if nobody ever mentioned it, then you can't do it. It's up to the people of the states, but the feds can't do that. So that's another thing. So the plan is this. The society has several areas that we are aiming at, and we suggest that if people want to help us, that's fine, they can. One is to audit the Fed and eventually phase the Fed out, get rid of it, because it's unconstitutional. The Fed is not a federal entity, and most of your listeners probably know that. So we need to support like Ron Paul's bill. We even advocate that in our monthly bulletin. Support this bill, vote against, or call in or write into your federal delegation, tell no or yes on the bill. The other thing is we have to have our senators say no to any cap and trade or any Kyoto or Copenhagen thing that comes out there on the environment. Because all these things do reflect back to saving our sovereignty and our Constitution. And also that we need to get disengaged from the United Nations. And the John Birch Society has a plan on how to get out, get the United Nations out here. Send them overseas, disband them, whatever. But we're really working against the United Nations, because the United Nations is at least the prototype of what these insiders or conspirators would use for a national world government. Now, there's several ways you can do this. Primarily, we're always looking for good people, of moral, honest people who will like what we have to say and say, hey, can I be a member? Because we'd like to have, you know, real live dues-paying members. If you join the John Birch Society, you'll be put into a local chapter. The local chapters work on projects locally, but they reflect on a national issue. And this is happening all over the United States. So as we have a chapter all over in different parts of the country, and they're all working on, say, the Copenhagen thing, say no to Copenhagen or whatever we're calling it, has a tremendous weight up there in Washington that puts pressure on these people up there to do something about it. We also have speakers bureaus. We have the field staff that can come to talk to people like we're doing tonight, things like that. There's many ways we can get out there to get the people to understand that, hey, you may have one little problem of your own. You may be a gun, say gun control. If you look at the John Birch Society, what we're going to do is going to help you with gun control. So if you come and help us, we can work together. Become a Bircher. Join the John Birch Society, and you'll learn how what we're doing on the larger scale is going to take care of your problem on the smaller scale. Now, I don't mean if you're in trouble with the law. We're not going to be doing that. Or if something like that. But we're talking about if you're trying to pass a law for concealed carry in your state. At least you can find the materials that you need through us and find some advocates who will work. Now, the other thing we teach people is that as members of the John Birch Society, when they get up in the morning and they're getting ready for work or school, and I'm including housework in this, they are looking in the mirror at their lobbyist. Each member of the John Birch Society is his own lobbyist, as he represents himself and his family under the understanding what the society does and what the society feels is most important that we work on. So that's another thing. We activate from the grassroots up, because when the people start to move, these politicians have to pay attention. Here's the thing. No matter what a politician does or says, he still has to be reelected in order to keep all that power. And if he doesn't get reelected, he's not going to be as happy, as pleased as he could be. So he's going to listen to the people. And it doesn't take really that many people to move somebody. Even though I know that they're trained to disregard a lot of things that honest people bring in to say about the Constitution and why we shouldn't do this, that, or the other, or advocate for something, they may seem to dismiss us. They're looking over their shoulders, and they're worried about it. And they're going to try and find a way to make themselves look good. And if they're part of the conspiracy, or they want to get patted on the back by the conspiracy and all that other stuff. So that's a lot of what you can do and people can do. Educate yourself and then get into action, because you don't want to be the most intelligent or the most informed person in the gulags. You're still going to be in the gulag, and it doesn't do you any good, does it? You know, you don't need a PhD in Western history to crack rocks, but you need that knowledge of American and Western history and civilization to save the Constitution.
Well, one thing I want to ask you, and it's been brought up as a topic in the chat room tonight and in the virtual auditorium, what is John Birch, what is the society doing right now to help educate the youth?
Oh, we've got a brand new thing coming up. In fact, it's still prototype. We have one staff member. His name is Mr. Sam Antonio. And he can be reached at santonio@jbs.org. His specific job is to work with and coordinate with college level and high school age people to help them form groups to learn the Constitution and what they can do is in their own capacity of that time of their life. And this is so new, I don't have that much more detail on that. We do want to have an outreach to the youth, like you have the Young Americans for Liberty, Young Americans for Freedom. You used to have the old left-wing guys, the Students for Democratic Society and stuff like that, that worked at the college and level of stuff, but do the same thing we do here outside of the college ranks into the business world that we're in and everyday life here. We do have that program, and again, it's just literally, it's weeks old, and I haven't seen much. They're redoing the website. They're doing the whole battle plan, or business plan. I mean, it's all really in a prototype mode right now. Now, another thing you can do is have people who are younger, they can go to freedomproject.com. Now, that is an affiliate of ours. under the American Opinion Foundation, and that's where we're starting to do what we call Americanism 101. And there's several lesson plans on there, some videos, and again, it's something that's been in development for about 6 months. It's got about five or so lesson plans on there. We have Mr. Alan Scholl. Mr. Scholl will, you know, if somebody wants to bring him out, he'll come out and he can talk to people and make a presentation. He's trying to work with the homeschoolers on his end of it, where Mr. Antonio is working with the college types and the high school types, especially the colleges first. So that's what we have for the youth. Now, also, our membership, we have a youth membership where a person who's younger than 24 or 21 or 24 if he's in college, I believe it is, can join at a reduced rate membership and just be expected to do the same as the adults do. Well, we don't expect them to, of course, finance things like an adult can, since the adult has a job, or at least some of us do. I just met some of our members last night who've been laid off here in the heavy industries in northern Indiana. But we expect everybody in society to be able to do something, because everybody can do something. It could be, how about having youth go door-to-door with a pamphlet, or maybe work a petition table, or go door-to-door with a petition, where, say, an older person may be better doing phone calls or email work, things like that, sitting, you know, working in like an office-type atmosphere, or at least on their own desk and stuff. So there's room for everybody. But getting back to the youth are important. They're also the future of the country. We need to reverse what Antonio Gramsci has done through the penetrating the education. And we need to return this backwards. And I shouldn't say backwards, but we need to reverse the damage and teach people, again, constitutional principles, hard currency, the importance of having your own manufacturing base in your own country, importance of being a sovereign, separate nation and just be friends with everybody, but mind your own business at the same time. We need to teach them all that. And that's where we're going with the youth as we get going more and more on this project.
Well, we have three more minutes left to go. And if you would, could you briefly give our listeners some contact information, if you would?
Yes, please. Whatever state you're in, if you will go to www.jbs.org, just send an email and say, I'd like someone to contact me. We'll have a field representative contact you. These are men who are, that's all we do for a living. We've given up our jobs and our careers to do this because we love it so much. The other thing is thenewamerican.com and shopjbs.org. We have so much material on there that's available for you, for those of you who want to learn more. The other thing is membership. You can join the John Birch Society. Your membership is for a year as your basic membership, and that includes our flagship magazine, the New American, which comes to you every 2 weeks. So those are the things, again. Or you can do 1-800-JBS-USA1. That's 1-800-JBS-USA1. And you can call right up there and tell them the same thing on the telephone. Send me some the free information package. We'll send you some videos, we'll send you some info, and then you'll be hearing from one of our staff men in whatever part of the country you happen to be.
Well, and thank you again for being on our show tonight, Lionel. It was a pleasure, and I'd like to get you back on sometime to have a little bit more time to further discuss this. And for my listeners, remember to check out my website, paulrichardprice.com. You can find relative information on the topics that I have discussed on the show tonight, and my new merchandise site at cafepress.com/PPC radio show or radio store. Thank you again. You will find the truth here. What you do with it is up to you. This is Paul Richard Price signing off. You have a good night, and God bless you.